Well, good morning, everyone, and especially a welcome to anyone who's new with us this morning. I'm going to continue to lift, well, a quote, but we're continuing to lift quotes from the interview that Linda Madaro and I did with Josh Summers back in July, I believe. And so if you wish to hear the entire interview, it is up on reflectivemeditation.org. So I encourage you to check it out and check out that website if you have not yet. We have many websites, and that's our newest. So what I'm going to talk about today is psychedelic therapy, often now called journeying. And I'm not doing this to encourage it, nor am I doing it to discourage it. I don't need to do that. There's been so much of that that have gone on, like actually in the last, whatever, 80 years of their of it being considered like very really encouraging it and really, you know, making it illegal, discouraging and very bad. I'm not doing it for that reason, but more to draw out the element of how altered states of consciousness change perception and can lead to more lasting change or healing. And also, it's just interesting how much this psychedelics, the perception of psychedelics, the perception of them themselves have changed so much. And so this is really, I'm drawing out another example of a Nietzsche, the mark of existence, inevitable change. And in this case, it's about how something is regarded. So here's the quote, and I said this with we were talking to Josh Summers on that podcast. It makes me think of what's very big here in Oregon right now. We're launching psychedelic approved therapy. And so there's a lot going on in my world about that. And you know, some of what happens, and this doesn't happen most of the time, but some of the time, is that we get to altered states in meditation. They're not perhaps as extreme or full bore as they might be with psychedelics, but things, consciousness that is changes, and stillness in the stillness of meditation, and therefore our thoughts change and are perceived differently. So yesterday, so that's the quote that I said then, and now I'm gonna speak from where I'm at now. Which is that I spoke with someone who is a licensed psilocybin facilitator. Turns out I misspoke in that quote. We're not launching a psychedelic therapy. In fact, it's not a medical model at all. So it's not therapy. And although she is a licensed therapist, when she does psilocybin journeying, she can't do it under that license. It's another license from the Oregon Health Authority. And here's a quote from their website. Quote, research suggests psilocybin may address depression, anxiety, trauma, and addictions. Studies have found it can increase spiritual well-being. So this person who I was speaking to yesterday, who practices and teaches reflective meditation, found that her psychedelic journeys have definitely increased her spiritual well-being. I've also been taking a 16-hour continuing education workshop on psychedelic therapy online. And it turns out that there was some very good research on psychedelic therapy, and I'm back to that word because that's what the course is, in the 1950s and even earlier, but it was all shut down in the 1960s, which I think, by the way, is a really brief, interesting piece of history and the way things can be perceived so differently. So I'm going to quote from The Guardian, an article on the brief history of psychedelic therapy. Quote, between the years 1950 and 1965, some 40,000 patients had been prescribed one form of LSD therapy or another as a treatment for neuroses, schizophrenia, and psychopathology. Research, by the way, it's now not at all suggested for people with schizophrenia. They are really looking at who is safe to do this. But at any rate, back to the article. Research into the potential therapeutic effects of LSD and other hallucinogens had produced over 1,000 scientific papers and 6 international conferences, but many of these studies weren't particularly robust, lacking control groups, for example, and likely suffered from what researchers called publication bias, whereby negative data are excluded from final analyses. Even so, the preliminary findings seem to warrant further research into the therapeutic benefits of hallucinogenic drugs. That research came to an abrupt halt, however, mostly for political reasons. During this period, LSD increasingly came to be viewed as a drug of abuse. It also became closely associated with student riots, anti-war demonstrations, and thus was outlawed by the US federal government in 1968. So we see how complicated this whole thing was and is. And then I lifted from another article in The Guardian as well. And it said that Bill W., the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, believed LSD could cure alcoholics and credited the drug with helping his own recovery from debilitating depression, according to new research. Sorry. So why am I talking about this? What does this have to do with reflective meditation? What does this have to do with meditation in general? I personally came to meditation back in the 1970s, and I stuck with it for many reasons. One of which is that it created altered states of consciousness that changed my perceptions without the dangers of psychedelic drugs. Turns out that this is true for many of the us baby boomer meditators, that we had tried psychedelic drugs and now wanted to get some of the benefits without some of the difficulties or dangers. So fast forward to now, 2023. Psychedelic therapy is the rage. New research shows its efficacy for many purposes: overcoming fear of death in terminal patients, overcoming substance abuse, overcoming intractable depression. The list goes on. The Oregon model has many safeguards in place, because Oregon really is the first to launch this. We're at the forefront here. And we've been working on it for years, how to get this new model in place. But an important part of the Oregon model and the model about psychedelic therapy is a process called integration. I'm taking the CE course, and there's several presenters. Most of them spoke about the necessity of integrating psychedelic journeys for them to have lasting benefits, for changes in perception to stick. And we spoke about integration as a process that happens through reflection talks several weeks ago. So I believe reflective meditation is well positioned to help people integrate psychedelic journeys. And this is for all the reasons that meditation has suggested. But additionally, we, with the developing the capacity for reflection, we can pick up more about an experience, any experience, but including psychedelic journeys, and integrate them. But I don't think I need to take a psychedelic journey now. I find enough change of perception and lasting change from reflective meditation. And I get into altered states, though they're much more subtle. By the way, we call them samadhi states. And they also take many forms for different people at different times. When I went on longer meditation retreats, the altered states were not subtle. But now, with these daily practices, more subtle. And the changes in perception are also more subtle, though I often pick this up in reflection more reliably. And I have grown to trust that even when I can't pick up changes in perception, they're happening more subtly. And I've come to rely upon them to navigate my life more skillfully. So I will end the talk there, and we